You're looking awesome today. I'm just going to thank you. I appreciate that. Let's just pray just before you sit down. So, Father God, I thank you that you are here right now by your presence. I thank you, God, and I praise you for all that you are doing in our lives and all that you're going to do in our lives. And so, God, I just pray that you will speak to us right now through this word that I've prepared, God. I pray that you'll take my words and just speak into people's hearts and lives by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 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 Right, why don't you take your seats? Fantastic. So, yeah, just want to welcome you again if you're new to ICON, and welcome you who are joining online as well. It's been a great morning so far and a great weekend. If you came to our show, the big Christmas show, I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And like Debbie said, we just want to give a big shout out to everybody who took part and who served across the weekend. I mean, it was just phenomenal. You guys just go up another level every year, and I just don't know how you do it. My daughter Amy said to me, "Mom, what was your favorite song?" And I actually honestly didn't have a favorite, or a few favorites, not just one favorite, but normally a few. Every song was so good in its own right, I thought, this year. It was just unbelievable. And I was actually last night so mesmerized by the boy band that, sorry, Nathan, this is why I say I must have been mesmerized, because I actually missed my own son's guitar solo during that song. I just couldn't believe it, because I watched him in the morning and I was like blown away, obviously, because he's my son. And I meant to say something to him and I still haven't caught him to do that. But I just could not believe that I didn't see it or hear it in the evening. But anyway, it was amazing. So, yeah, so our series for this Christmas is Step Into Christmas. And Nathan said that I had to get up on the stage and do the Gavin and Smithy dance, which I declined, obviously. I mean, does anyone even know what I mean by that? Have you seen? Yeah. Gavin and Stacey, it was on the screen. Sadly, we can't show you the actual YouTube video because they have very strict rules these days, but I'm still not doing it for you anyway. But I don't know about you. I don't know whether you love Christmas or not. I personally love Christmas. I love this time of year. I love everything that goes with the Christmas season. I love the build-up. I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love the shopping. I love the getting the Christmas in a cup from any well-known coffee shop that you might go to. I love the mince pies. I basically love all the food that goes with it, to be honest. But I also love Christmas movies. I don't know whether anybody else in the room loves Christmas movies. Yeah. Die Hard. That is a good Christmas movie. I don't have a favourite, to be honest, because I love so many. But I tried an experiment this year. Because the list of movies that I like to watch gets longer and longer, I just can't fit them in. So I allowed myself the permission to start watching them from the 1st of November this year. Now, I know for some of you out there, that is a real no-no, and it was for me as well. But I realised that I just wouldn't get through them, so I tried. It's an experiment. I've tried it. To be honest, it was really difficult to get into the Christmas spirit because it felt so wrong to start so early. But I know some of you, you know, start well before November even. And I got a little tip just before I got up from Vic, who said, "I've virtually watched everything," and she loves, like, all of them. And I said, "How do you do it?" And she said, "Well, I get up every morning and I put one on and I just keep watching it over a few days. It might take me a few days, but I just keep putting it on." And I thought, yeah, that's a good tip, actually. I might try that. Because I've still got 22 films to go through. So we'll see. Anyway, I'm rambling on, so I'll stop that. We'll get into the message. There's a great Christmas song that says it's the most wonderful time of the year. And You might think that, but the reality is that we all experience different emotions at Christmas, don't we? I mean, maybe you do feel the excitement and the joy and you are ecstatic about what's to come. You know, maybe you're looking forward to all those festivities and having the family round and getting together. Maybe for you, getting together with extended family can be a little bit of a challenge. You know, maybe you're feeling stressed at the thought of fitting everything in and maybe cooking Christmas dinner for what feels like 100 people at the moment. Maybe you're feeling the financial burden of what it is going to actually cost to make it happen. Maybe you're feeling a sense of sadness today because you are processing grief and it's a constant reminder of what you've actually lost. Or maybe you feel a sense of guilt because of those who are suffering and they don't have what you have. And maybe that's through personal circumstances, maybe that's because they're victims of circumstances like war and other atrocities that are happening around the world right now, and you know, they are experiencing anything but the joy of Christmas. Well, however you might be approaching Christmas this year, no matter what happens, I believe that you can have hope. And that hope is found in Jesus. We've already sung about him this morning. And I want to read a verse from Isaiah chapter 9, or a couple of verses. And this is from the prophet Isaiah, who wrote these words hundreds of years before Jesus actually was born. But he was talking about a hope to come. He was talking about Jesus who was going to be born. And he said this to encourage people. He said, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders." And listen to this. "He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And you know, you might feel like you are walking in darkness right now and you can't see where you are going and things just aren't clear and you can't see a way through right now. But you know, the miracle of Christmas is that Jesus, the light, has come. And he will shine his light into those dark places and into those hopeless situations. And he promises to bring us his comfort, his peace, and his love. For he is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so we can all step into a Christmas knowing that God is with us. No matter what happens, he will never leave us alone, and he has everything under control. Do you believe that today, church? Come on. Yeah. So in the first part of this series, we're going to take a look at Mary and learn a few things from her incredible faith. So I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. So it says this: "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Well, I guess many of us are very familiar with the Christmas story because of the nativities that go on all over the place. And we see it played out and it's very cute. But we have to remember that this is a real story that happened to real people. And on first thoughts, you might ask the question, well, why should God choose Mary? She was just a simple, poor, teenage girl who wasn't even married yet. And in that kind of society, she had no significance at all. But you know, isn't it true that God comes to the seemingly insignificant and lifts them up and does seemingly impossible things through their lives? And maybe you feel insignificant right now, like God doesn't see you. And he can possibly break into your situation right now. Well, you know, I want to tell you, he didn't overlook Mary and he doesn't overlook you. In fact, what matters to you matters to him. So what can we learn from Mary's response to the Christmas story that was played out in her life? And how will we respond in this Christmas season? You know, can we see beyond those wrappings and the busyness and the distractions and maybe the discomfort and allow God into our lives this Christmas? I want to look at three ways that Mary responded and suggest that this can also be our response to God in this season. So number one, Mary responds in faith. So I think it's interesting to see in this passage that actually Mary goes on a journey of faith. She doesn't just accept what the angel is saying to her without thinking about it, without pondering, without pausing to think. She's very thoughtful in her response. And her first response actually is a question to the angel, well, how can this be? Which I guess is a polite way of saying, this is crazy, like this is impossible. How on earth could that possibly happen to me? I mean, how would you respond if an angel turned up on your doorstep and told you that something absolutely impossible was going to happen in your life? I think we'd probably question it too, wouldn't we? But you know, I think it's helpful for us to see that Mary's was questioning the angel first, because you know, there are things that happen in our lives that cause us to say, well, what are you doing, God? What does this mean? And we have to actually go on a journey of faith too. And I want to say to you that that is okay. It's okay to go on that journey of faith and to be questioning and to ask the real questions. Because actually it can lead us to a greater trust in God and a deeper understanding of who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. You know, things won't always make sense to us because we are limited in our thinking. Whereas God is infinite. The Bible says that his ways are higher and his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And this is why faith is important. You know, it's having the ability to put our trust in an infinite God. The angel had to say to Mary, do not be afraid, as she had all sorts of thoughts, I guess, swirling in her mind. But the angel was reassuring her about the future, you know, that she didn't have to worry because God had everything under control. And I really believe that someone needs to hear that today. Do not be afraid. You know that God has got your future in his hands. You know, you might not understand what is happening right now or where this is leading to, but you can trust him. And just as God came to Mary, he can come to reveal himself to you. And that's what he does day after day after day. That's what he can do right here and right now. He is a God that you can trust, a God who knows you so well. So don't be afraid of what is in your future, because actually God has already gone there and he's already prepared a way for you. So going back to Mary's first reaction, which is to question, you know, the most amazing thing is that she doesn't just stop at the questions, but she pushes through her doubts until she comes to a place of wholly trusting God and like a wholehearted faith. She puts her faith wholly in God. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, which we read earlier, it says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. And in that moment, you know, she's not saying that she understands it all. She's saying that even though she doesn't know what's ahead, she is willing to follow. She's willing to trust. And that's what faith means for us. It's being willing to accept that we don't understand everything. We don't understand everything about the situation. And we can't predict what's going to happen in the future. But, you know, the amazing thing is that we know who holds the future. And we can put our trust in him. So Mary responds in faith. And I believe that that's something that we can do as well in this season. Number two, Mary responds in wonder. If Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year for you, then I'm guessing that it's probably filled with a lot of wonder. But I guess that when we think about the wonder of Christmas, we usually think about a child's response to that. It's seeing the excitement that builds up in their lives, you know, as they expectantly wait for Santa to come and deliver their wish list on Christmas morning. We have two grandchildren at the moment. Some of you will know our oldest grandson, Miles, who is three, is just making the connection with Christmas this year. And it's just so lovely to see. And he's quite expressive when he gets excited about something. And when he responds to something that causes him to wonder, he usually says, "Wow, wow, wow, look at that Christmas tree. Wow, look at that star." It's like that. And it's just amazing. And I was putting the tree up the other day with him. But we didn't have time to put the decorations on. So we just put the tree up. And I left it bare because I was going to decorate it sort of the next day or whatever. And then we sat down. But then he said, "Where's the star, Nana?" And I thought, well, I can put the star on. I've got time for that, you know. But actually, I'd bought a new star for the Christmas tree this year, which was a lot more glittery and exciting than the one that I had before. So we got this star, and I brought it in the room, and his little face lit up. And of course, he said, "Wow." So he put the star on, and he was so excited about it. So it's lovely to see that he's making that connection. And I'm sure anyone who's got small children in their lives can relate to that. But, you know, wonder doesn't stop with children. We as adults can still experience the joy of wonder. And once Mary has begun to process this incredible news, she responds in wonder. She has a wow moment. And a little further in that chapter, we didn't read it, but her heart is so full of wonder that she sings a spontaneous song of praise to God. And she's so amazed at what has happened to her. And in verse 48 and 49, I just want to read what she says. She says, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." She's talking about herself. "And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And she's not bigging herself up in that moment, realizing, you know, that everyone's going to call me blessed. She's not doing that at all. She's actually recognizing that God is blessing and honoring her, a simple, poor, young, unwed girl. She's so amazed that God would ever consider to choose her for this great plan of his. And you know, the wonder for us is that we too are blessed and honored by God, that he pours out his grace and kindness into our lives when we put our faith and our trust in him. So as you step into Christmas, you know, maybe you can just stop and pause for a moment and consider what God has done for you. Consider what the Christmas story means for you and allow yourself to be filled with the wonder. And I just want to read a verse from Ephesians chapter 1, where it's two verses. And like, I could have chosen so many verses just to encourage you with this thought, but I've chosen this one. And it says this, that he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness upon us along with all wisdom and understanding. Isn't that great? God has showered you with his kindness, with his love, with his grace, and he's purchased your forgiveness by the blood of his son, Jesus. You know, the wonder is what Jesus has done for you. And being a Christian is not about what we can do for God. It's actually what God has done for each and every one of us. And salvation is a free gift and it's available to everyone. It doesn't matter who we are or what we've done or how we come to him. Jesus says that we can just simply receive that gift of grace, and you can receive him right here and right now. You know, there's nothing that you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And you know, the greatest miracle is that God came down to earth from heaven. He stepped into the world that he created. And he provided a way for us to come back to him, to receive the gift of forgiveness and everlasting life with him. And this is the wonder that Mary was experiencing, and I believe that you can experience it too this Christmas. And then thirdly, Mary responds in surrender. Going back to verse 38, you know, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And this is a statement, I believe, of obedience, but not blind obedience. It's surrender to a realization that he is God, her creator, her protector, who deserves her service. And I believe in this moment, Mary was surrendering to God. And I believe also that it's important that we consider what she was actually willing to surrender. Because I think there are a couple of important things here that she was willing to give up in this moment. And they weren't easy things to give up. First of all, her reputation. You know, there's no doubt that she must have realized that her reputation would be questioned. She wasn't married, and yet she was going to be with child. People were going to add it up somehow. And that might not seem much in today's society, but back in those days, that was considered to be so disgraceful. And so disgrace would come upon her. She knew that. She knew what people would begin to say about her. But still she said, "Whatever comes, I accept it. I'm willing to surrender that to God." And I believe one of the other things that she was surrendering was her future plans. You know, her plan to marry Joseph was suddenly at risk. And I'm sure that Mary, being a young girl, would have been just as excited as any young girl would have been, having dreams for their future. I mean, I can just about remember what it was like 35 years ago. But I certainly remember our daughter's dreams for her wedding, which was only 4 years ago. And woe betide anyone who was going to mess up her plans for her wedding. But, you know, it's not just a wedding, is it? It's your first house together. It's your career path, the careers that you're choosing and those paths that you're going to go down together, the plans for a family, and so on and so on. It's much more than just getting married to somebody, but it's planning your whole life, your whole future. What does that mean? And now Mary had no idea of what kind of life that they would have together. She was actually stepping into the unknown. And as you consider your response to God this Christmas, you know, are you willing to surrender your whole life to him? Are you willing to lay aside your wants, your needs, your control, even if it means stepping into the unknown? You see, there is always a bigger picture that we cannot see. I just want to share a story about us. Over the last 18 months, we've been in a situation where it's felt like we're stepping into the unknown. We made a plan. It was really a financial plan, I guess. We were going to downsize our house so that we could get rid of the mortgage that was still left owing to us. And then I was going to take early retirement from teaching. And that would put us in a position where I, not that I didn't have to work, and Gavin did, it wasn't all about that, but it meant that I could choose what I wanted to do, and I kind of fancied doing something completely different, and it didn't really matter what that was going to be. But actually, that plan hasn't gone to plan. Our house sale fell through in January, and that just coincided with everything else going wrong in the financial world. Interest rates, mortgage rates, energy price increases, everything was just going pear-shaped. And I still followed my plan, which was to take early retirement from teaching. So I still did that. But we still haven't sold our house. And so I really had to trust in God. Where was he taking us? Where was he leading us? So I am still teaching. But actually, it's one of the best ways of teaching, I think, because I'm actually doing some tuition, some private tuition, which isn't a plug, by the way. But I'm so enjoying it. And I wouldn't have done that if things had worked out differently. You know, it would have pushed me down some other route, and maybe that's not the right route right now. But you know what I want to say is that God has been so faithful to us. And you know, throughout this year, I have learned to stand on the truth that God is my provider. And actually, I just need to simply trust that God is going to provide what I need for today. Because actually, what I've found is that that has taken away the worry of tomorrow or the worry of the future, what is going to happen. And even though it's felt like we've been stepping into the unknown, I know that God has a plan. It's just that it's bigger than what I can see right now. And so we're still working through that, but I can honestly say that God has been faithful every step of the way. And so you see, when you surrender your life to God, it opens up the door to you to receive all that he has prepared for you. That can be grace, life, provision, peace, forgiveness, fulfillment, and on and on and on. You know, surrendering your life to God does not mean that you will lose it, but it means that you will gain a greater life filled with his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. But then the angel gave Mary a promise as well that I'm sure that she would have needed to cling on to many times in her life. And that is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. The angel said to her, "For no word from God will ever fail." And I really believe that that's a promise that God speaks over you today. You know, no matter what you're going through, he will never fail you. And his word to you will never fail you. And you know, if he said it, then you can believe it. So in finishing, you know, how does Mary's faith speak to you? As you step into your Christmas, can her response inspire your response to God during this season? You know, despite what this Christmas season might look like for you, can you put your faith in a God who loves you so much that he stepped down to earth from heaven to make a way for you to know him? Can you trust that he has a plan that he is still working out in your life? Are you willing, like Mary was, to take God at his word? You know, God's promise to you is that he will never leave you and he will never fail you. Maybe right now you've lost a bit of that wonder of what Jesus has done for you. And this is an opportunity for you to reconsider and regain that wonder again. And maybe that means making the time to draw close to God and finding the joy of being in his presence. You know, wonder often comes from being present in the moment, doesn't it? Not allowing distractions to get in the way of experiencing that moment. Maybe for you right now, you need to just stop letting the distractions take you away from experiencing the wonder of the moment. And is there an area of your life that you need to surrender to God right now? You know, surrender, as I said, does not mean that we lose out. It means that we gain so much more, that we receive the life that God wants for each and every one of us. Jesus surrendered his life so that we could receive the gift of eternal life. So as you step into Christmas, why not make it a moment where you surrender all your plans to him, because his plan for you is so much greater. Church, why don't we stand together? And I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to sing a little refrain of worship. Just surrender our lives to God. Yeah, Father, we just want to open our hearts to you right now in this moment. We're so thankful to you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. We're so thankful that you are willing to step down from heaven into the earth that you created for us, so that we could know life, so that we could know true life and true freedom in you. We thank you so much that you loved us so much, and the fact that you came to us just shows us how much you love each and every one of us, God. I just want to pray for each and every person this morning who may be struggling in this season, in a situation that they're facing. God, I don't know what it is, but you know every situation. God, I really pray that you would give them the faith to be able to push through their doubts, Lord, to push through their insecurities, God, and to receive the gift of faith from heaven this morning. God, I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I pray for each and every one of us that, Lord, you would help us to surrender our lives to you. Whatever that means, God, whether it's surrendering our plans to you right now, whether it's surrendering our hearts to you, whether it's surrendering our minds, our thoughts, our opinions to you, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to surrender to you this Christmas season, God. And allow you to come into our hearts. Allow you to do whatever it is that you want to do in our lives. For the sake of your glory, I ask it. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we ask. And everybody say, Amen.